at the bulletin there. I'll be on vacation. You think you've already been on vacation? Well, I have, I guess, in a way, but I want to go see my son now that they've kind of got things opened up. And so we're going to try to go up to Virginia here and visit with Jeff and his family. And so next Sunday, Brother Ethan Pugh will be with you, and he'll be speaking. And again, we'll just have the morning worship services next Sunday. And I had anticipated going ahead and starting our Sunday evening services back the following week on the 24th. But then I was looking at the calendar and I said, well, the next Sunday is the fifth Sunday of May, which we traditionally do not have a Wednesday or a Sunday night services on the fifth Sunday. So let's just back it up. Let's just start June 7th. Okay, all services resume back to normal Sunday night services on June the 7th. So let's just do that. Get a fresh start on June 7th and go forward from there and see how kind of things shake out then. So make that change in your schedule, and we'll just we got money in the bank, right, brother? That's our business meeting.
We do.
Okay, money's in the bank. So we've just taken care of business. All right. If things change, I'm sure that we'll be notified by Brother R.D. So, and like you said, the offering plate here is in the back. So if you need to, please take advantage of the offering plate. It'll be there waiting for you. All right. That's all I know that we need to announce this morning. Anything else? Any other questions you might have that we might try to answer for you concerning our services or what we need to do? Change. We are open. Okay. Hey, we are open to whatever changes we need to make, okay? Whatever change you feel like we need to make, we're gonna do that, you know. But please, by all means, you know, let us know what those changes need to be. We're all kind of working through it, you know. We're all kind of trying to figure out what's going on, what we need to do, where we're at, you know, what we need to do next, all that kind of stuff. So you know, I don't have anything set in stone at all. I'm just like you. I'm trying to figure it out, okay? And trying to take whatever information I can take and make sense of it and act accordingly. So that's kind of where we're at this morning. All right, well, let me invite you to open your Bible to the Old Testament, Deuteronomy. Please find your place in Deuteronomy chapter 6. It is Mother's Day. And we're living in crazy, things just got crazier. You know, we thought things were bad earlier. Man alive, things are just, you know, they've gone out of sight, you know, now. And everybody's, you know, trying to figure things out. And it's crazy days. And being a parent in these days, I can't even imagine. I can't even imagine what it's like to have to raise your children under the kind of circumstances that we're in today. And so, you know, I just want to strengthen you and encouraging you. You know, you're getting hit from every direction possible when it comes to being a mom and when it comes to being a dad today. And you know, I know that people are, we live in a culture today that encourages families, not, I shouldn't say families, encouraging those who get married, let me put it that way, not to have children. Because they say we live in dangerous times. Well, you know, I understand that. I get that, you know. We worship a holy God. And the Bible does, in fact, encourage you to have children. You say, I don't know. Genesis is all over it, man. Genesis is all over that. I understand we live in a culture that doesn't necessarily agree with all that the Bible says, as fundamental as it is. But you look at the Bible, it's clear from the creation story related to us in Genesis that God commands us to reproduce. And I know that because of sin, that there can be other factors into that you know, that kind of go into this decision-making process of having children. You know, sin affects us emotionally, sin affects us mentally, and sin affects our bodies. And I understand all that plays into the issues. I get that. But the command is still there. It's the normal process of life. Grow up, get married, have children, be a grandparent, you know, spoil your grandkids. That's all in the Bible. It's all there, folks. You can read it. So anyhow, I trust you're in Deuteronomy. Okay, we're going to start reading here in chapter 6 in verse 4. Okay? It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God." The Lord is one. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. These things which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk to them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and you shall be and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. Then it shall come about when the Lord your God brings you into the land which he swore to your fathers Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to give you, great and splendid cities which you did not build, and houses full of good things which you did not fill, and hewn cisterns which you did not dig, wine yards and olive trees which you did not plant, and you shall eat and are satisfied. Then watch yourself, that you do not forget the Lord who brought you from the land of Egypt out of the house of slavery. You shall fear only the Lord your God. You shall worship him and swear by his name. You shall not follow other gods, any of the gods of the peoples who surround you. For the Lord your God in the midst of you is a jealous God. Otherwise, the anger of the Lord your God will be kindled against you, and he will wipe you off the face of the earth." Amen. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of the Word of God. I know you're hearing a lot from our culture today. And even you're hearing people say, "Well, you know, the research has shown that homosexuals can be better parents than just having a mom who's female and a dad who's male." That's what culture, you know, the agenda today is that, oh yeah, on the coattails of the LGBTQ movement comes the idea that polygamy is now being acceptable and being promoted in our country, and people are striving to push it to make it legal today. So there's all kinds of havoc about what it means to be a family. And the Bible is absolutely clear. This is your book on parenting. This is your book on being a mom and a dad. And I'm not saying that there aren't other helps out there. Don't misunderstand me. I've read books on parenting. I've read some. I've studied some. I've looked at them. And there's good information in it. I'm not denying that. But this is the ultimate authority on being a mom and a dad. And for being grandparents even. This is the go-to book in making your decisions. And by saying that, though, I am not standing before you this morning and guaranteeing you. So you're out there, you're saying, "Okay, I'm going to do what you tell me to do, preacher. I'm going to use this book." Are you guaranteeing me then my kids are going to grow up and they're going to follow the Lord? Are you guaranteeing that my kids won't cause me any difficulties or any problems? Are you guaranteeing me that my children won't go a separate way, or they won't go a different way? Are you guaranteeing me that if I do what the Bible tells me to do? No, I'm not guaranteeing you that. Okay? But I am guaranteeing you that your influence upon them will be powerful in giving them the direction that they need to go in when it comes to following the Lord. And God is going to use your influence upon them in a very powerful way to lead them in the right way. I am guaranteeing you that, based upon the promises of the Word of God. You know, history is filled with pages about parents who have greatly influenced their children for good. George Washington, one of the great examples of all, had a strong, austere mother. But nonetheless, when George Washington was elected president of the United States, or voted to be president of the United States of America, he did what all good boys do. He went home. And he told his mom what had happened. And his mom was actually dying, near death, of breast cancer at that particular time. And they both realized that the seriousness of her condition was that they were not probably going to see each other again. This was going to be the last time that they saw each other. And so George Washington's mother turns and says, "Go, George, fulfill the high destinies which heaven appears to have intended for you. Go, my son, and may that heaven's and a mother's blessing be with you always." That was her parting words. Do God's will. I know we're probably not going to see each other again, but you go and you do what God wants you to do. This is the way I've trained you. This is the way I've raised you. Go and do it. And you moms today, you're living in a culture where you're raising warriors for Christ. And you need to come to terms with that. You need to understand that you're raising children in a culture that's going to oppose them every way it possibly can. It's not like when you grew up. It's not the same world you grew up in. It's totally different. And there's a sense in which women today, mothers today, have to be stronger than ever in their faith in God, and what they are doing is God's will. If you're not convinced of that, you're going to shake in your sandals if you're in the Old Testament, in the New Testament. It's also true of the negative. Nero, one of the most wicked, cruel men that ever set foot upon the face of the earth, came from the womb of a mother who was a serial murderer, who was notorious for her scrupulous actions, for her lying, for her overarching authority. Nero inherited all those things and more because of the influence of an ungodly mother. You have influence, ladies. Whether you like it or not, you're not going to escape the fact that you have influence. It's there. You cannot say, "Well, I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to let my children grow up and be whatever they want to be." That is a bunch of bunk. That's not going to happen. And I know people think, "Well, I'm just going to let my children choose." You are influencing them. You may believe that lie, but it is a fact that God put on you influence upon your children. You cannot stop. You cannot stop having influence on your child. I don't care what it is. You say, "Well, if I leave my child," if you leave your mother who leaves her family, you have had an influence on that child. So how do you make the best of it? How do you make the best of it? Number one, according to the scriptures in Deuteronomy, the best way to have an influence is for you to passionately love God. That's what he's talking about here. Love God passionately as a mother. You really want to have an influence on your family. This is where it starts. Loving God. When I say having passionately loving God, I mean making sure that he's number one in your life. Making sure that he is number one in your life. And I don't mean that means when you get up in the morning that you're going to start turning somersaults because you're talking to God. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about loving God number one means that you're going to shout hallelujah when something good happens. And loving God and putting him number one in your life doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to stand up in front of the church and give a testimony. But I'm saying that your love for God is something that is settled in your heart, and that your love for God is something that you have no doubt about. He said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all of your might." And I want you to plug your name in there. Hear, oh, put your name in there. You see, the next statement says, "You shall love the Lord your God." That is that personal pronoun is singular. He says, "You." singular, whatever your name is, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. That is the state in which you are to live your life as a woman of Christ. You cannot properly raise your children unless, first of all, you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your strength, and with all of your might. That is the qualifying character of being a mother. And I'm not, and you say, well, you're trying to make me feel guilty. I'm not trying to make you feel guilty. God's not trying to make you feel guilty, because you're sitting out there saying, well, you know, sometimes I fail, preacher. I don't always do what I need to do. I don't always do what God wants me to do. I don't always love the Lord my God with all my heart, mind, and soul, and my body. I understand that. I get that. None of us do. It's a high calling. There's no doubt about that. But there's these gifts called repentance and faith and forgiveness. And yes, you're going to fail. You're going to say what you wish you hadn't said. You're going to do what you wish you hadn't done. Okay? And you're going to have an attitude towards your children that you didn't know you could have. Okay? That thing's going to happen. But there's these things called forgiveness. And you start over. And you go to God and you confess those things. And you start over. This is the goal toward which you are heading here. This is what you are reaching toward here. God knows that you're going to fail, but that doesn't stop the idea that God wants you to continue to stretch forward toward this goal and making Him the primary love of your life. I'm going to tell you what, if you're stretching toward loving God with all your heart, mind, body, and soul, your children are going to see that. They're going to know that. They're going to see it in your life. Let's look at this a little more practically here. This command here to love the Lord, this command here that where he says the Lord is our God and the Lord is one, that's not just a technicality. That's not just theology there. That command is direction. That's direction for you ladies. You must never doubt that you are worshiping the God who created you, who made you, who created the creation that we walk upon, who sustains it and who holds it together. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. The writer is saying that because he wants you to be absolutely sure that this is the only true and living God that there is. Following him, not anybody else. Listen, you're going to make friends with other ladies. And some of the other ladies may have a different view. Some of them may be from the Islam, you know, and you may make friends with ladies who are in Islamic religion. You don't need to follow them, but you need to share the gospel with them. Yoga, Jehovah's Witnesses, Catholicism, Mormonism, all these are cults that may influence you through your friendship with other women. And I'm not trying to discourage you from having friendship with other women. But the Bible is telling us here that we need to be completely confident in the fact that the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And I'm not trying to mean or critical when I'm looking at these other religions and these other cults that are out there that may influence you. I'm not trying to be mean toward them. You just need to know that there is only one God and you are worshiping Him and Him alone. That's how you love passionately, and that is how you love your children. In order to do this, you must, and I know you hear me say this all the time, but it's true, you must maintain your daily devotions. You must get into the Word of God. God wants you to know Him, ladies. God wants to walk with you. He wants you to know Him. You ladies are built for relationships. You are built for that. God put you together for that. You are unique from a man in that respect. As a woman, you have a relationship with God that's going to be different than your husband's relationship with God. You are. As a woman, if you're maintaining your relationship with God and you're into the Word of God, God is going to be sharing the truths of God with you, and you're going to have something to contribute to your husband's decisions. Because you're coming from a different perspective of life. You contribute to what he's thinking. You contribute to what he's going to do. Matter of fact, I had a recent discussion this week. Brother Dwight and I were just having this discussion. We were agreeing about this fact that our wives have influences, and we need to listen to them because they have a perspective that we don't have, and they can share with us things that we need to learn. Well, I made a big mistake this past week. I should have done what Judy told me to do, but I didn't do it. So yes, they walk with God. They follow God's Spirit. They have an insight to God's principles. Now, are you saying that do they make the ultimate decision? No, God's given you as a man the responsibility to make the ultimate decision. But I'm going to tell you, you need to pay attention, okay? And include whatever input that you're getting from them. Because they have a relationship with God that's different than yours. They have a different perspective of life that's different from yours. And so it's going to help you make complete and whole decisions. Don't discount it. The importance of doing that. She's in the Word of God. She's having a devotional time. You know what? God's speaking to her. Well, then notice secondly what goes on here. He says you need to teach your... Verse 7. He says you need to teach your children... diligently. Now this is directly tied, folks. Don't come here to verse 7 and disconnect it from everything else that's been said before. Because it's not. It is directly tied to this idea that we're loving God first and foremost of all. You will not be able to teach your children the things of God unless your heart is filled with the love of God. And I know there are times in your life when you're going to get weary. I know there are times in your life when you're going to get tired, you're going to get beat down with life, you know, and you might even feel like you're not a good mom or whatever the case may be. But all of that is going to stem from one thing, a deficiency in the love of God. There's no exception to that rule. If you get sick and tired of life, and we all get sick and tired of life, you know, and you get sick and tired of people. We all get sick and tired of people. But when it comes down to the bottom line, the main issue is this, is that we are deficient in the love of God. Depression and discouragement and frustration is a vitamin deficiency. You say, well, what vitamin? You know, we're always here today. You know, women need vitamins, and you do need to take your vitamins. But there's also another vitamin you need to take, and it's LOG, the vitamin LOG, the love of God. That is the vitamin that you need most in your life. It is the love of God that motivates you and keeps you going. It is the love of God that keeps you spiritually healthy. You are only going to be motivated in this life when something beyond this life is motivating you and pushing you through the hard times in life. And we're commanded here to love the Lord our God. That's what pushes us forward. Let me give you an expanded application of the spiritual principle here laying down. Jesus said this. He was questioned by the lawyers about the greatest commandment. And you remember the interaction that took place between Jesus Christ and the lawyers. And Jesus said, here's the greatest commandment of all, that you love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all the mind. And then he said, here's the second commandment, that you love your neighbor as yourself. That's exactly, folks. It's being specifically applied in this passage of Scripture, Deuteronomy. But this is the process. You love the Lord your God. You love others. In this particular case, as moms, we're talking about the others being your own children. This is always the process. This is always the design. This is always the way it works. You love the Lord thy God first, and then you love others, specifically here, your children, your husbands, and even your husband's in-laws. Okay, the whole gamut. Everything comes along with your husband. You love it all because of the Lord. Now, sometimes, ladies, I want to encourage you to pull away from the stress. Okay? your life is full of activity, your life is full of hustle and bustle. There's a constant pulling on your life, a constant pulling upon your emotions. And there are times when you just need to get alone with God, ladies. You just need to get alone with God and the Bible and recharge the love of God. Recharge the love of God. When we love God first, it so helps us put life in perspective. Life gets out of kilter. Life gets out of perspective. Some things get bigger than they need to be. And we do make mountains out of molehills. And we need that love of God to help us get that perspective on life again. Realize, no, it's God. God's in control. He's sovereign. He's watching over this thing. I need to give it to God. There are times when you need to say, you know what? God, I accept the fact that you love me. I don't feel like my husband loves me right now. I don't even feel like my children love me right now. Father, I don't even feel like loving myself right now, God. You've been there. Every one of you have been there. And you have to stop and you have to realize God doesn't quit loving me, though. He hasn't given up on me. And that'll put everything else in perspective. And then finally, the scriptures here, beginning in verse 10, speak of your generational, what I'll call generational influence. Beginning in verse 10. Then it shall come about when the Lord your God brings you into the land which he swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you. Great and splendid cities which you did not build, and houses full of good things which you did not fill, and hewn cisterns which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant, and you eat and are satisfied. Then watch yourself that you do not forget the Lord who brought you from the land of Egypt and out of the house of slavery. You shall fear only the Lord your God, and you shall worship him and swear by his name. You shall not follow other gods, any of the gods of the people who surround you. For the Lord your God is in the midst of you, is a jealous God. Otherwise, the anger of the Lord your God will be kindled against you, and he will wipe you off the face of the earth. You don't want that. You want to have a generational influence upon your family, upon the culture in which you live today. And I know you got your hands full. And you're probably not thinking too far into the future. You're just thinking about maybe getting by today, or getting by next week, or getting by next month, or maybe even getting by to the end of the year. And life is busy. It is busy. I know that. But I want you to know that your influence is not limited to the here and now. And I don't know how to impress that upon you ladies this morning. But your love for God, which results in you teaching your children the things of God, is not only going to impact the rest of their lives, you are impacting the world. You must understand, women, you must understand that you're not just impacting that which issues from your womb. You are impacting generations, if not the very future of the United States of America right now, which we need godly people. You're putting men and women to the world who are going to carry on what you plant into their lives. So what do you do? Here's what I want you to do, ladies. I want you to live intentionally, okay? I want you to decide in your mind and your heart, you are going to live intentionally. You're busy, you're stressed. There are a thousand ways that the world is trying to distract you. Life is full of activities and things like to do. But the best thing you can do when you rise in the morning is you rise with the intention that you are going to love God. And you're going to understand that God loves you. And before you go to bed at night, you're going to remind yourself, the last thing in your mind is going to be, you know what? I love God and God loves me. I don't care what the day has done. I don't care what the day has held. It doesn't matter what's going on during the day. You maintain that intentionality of the love of God. And it's not going to happen naturally. Yes, you've got a flesh. And you're going to be tired, okay? And you're going to feel good. You're going to get out of bed on the wrong side of the bed and be mad at the whole world the whole day. You know? That's going to happen because you live in flesh with bodies. But loving God is something that you have to remind yourself to do and tell yourself to do. You say, well, some days I don't feel very good. And well, if you have to crawl out of bed, I don't care if you fall out of bed. If you fall out of bed on the floor, at least you got direction. God loves me. And I'm going to love Him. And the second thing I want you to do, ladies, is I want you to pray, 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 and pray some more. I know you naturally pray for the physical well-being of your children. Not against that. I know you pray for God to bless your children. That's okay. Pray for God to bless your children. Nothing wrong with that. But you pray that God will give your children spiritual wisdom. Because they're making decisions. And every decision they make is going to impact their behavior and their lives. Yeah, it's great if they graduate from college and have whatever degree they need. It's great if they have a nice big house. It's great if God has blessed them with all kinds of vehicles and wealth and everything like that. But I'm going to tell you what, God is not going to judge your child for the kind of house that they lived in, the kind of car that drove, or the kind of clothing that they wore, or what degree they had from the University of Oregon. He's not going to do that. He's going to judge your children on the basis of the decision they made, whether they served Him or not. You pray for them to have decision, then God will intervene in their decisions and make the right decisions. But here's the second thing about prayer. It's going to give you the patience. Prayer is not just a crutch. Prayer is going to give you women, moms, the patience you're going to need with your child. Because your child is not going to always go the way you want them to go. And they're not always going to make the decisions that you want them to make. They're not going to do it. You've got to turn them loose. And you've got to have to let them make their own decisions in life. You're going to have to let go of that baby. Because that baby is now grown up. Or is growing up. And you need to pray God to intervene with the teaching, that you have taught them down through the years. And you need to let them make their mistakes. Okay? You don't like doing that. I understand. I get that. You don't like them. You don't want them to make the mistakes that you made. And sometimes they are. But they're going to live over it. Just like you did. And you pray for them to find God. The mother's ultimate desire, of course, is for them to come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. As much as you love your children, you cannot decide for them to be saved. You have to put that decision into the hands of the Holy Spirit, the Almighty Father, and the Son who died for them on the cross, and them. And you have to leave that decision there. And God's not going to make a mistake with that. They're going to have to give their own accounting to God. Every child will give their own accounting to God. And it will not be influenced by you. You're not going to be able to stand there beside your child and tell God, you know, God, well, you need to excuse this. God, you need to excuse that. God, this, 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 and then. You're not going to be able to do that. That child is on their own when they stand before God. And the reality is that sin is an inescapable fact of life. We're born sinners. Your child is born a sinner. And all the correction and all the teaching that you give your child is not going to save them. It's not going to save them. It's going to be a decision that they make when the conviction of the Holy Spirit comes upon them, and only then. Between them and God. And God will give the awakening in their hearts that they've offended Him and that His judgment is an eternal hell. Because that's the only thing worthy of an eternal breaking of His laws. When you break the laws of God, you break them eternally. And the penalty is eternal. But the price that Jesus Christ paid for you is eternal as well. It's called eternal life. And He went to the cross and He shed His blood and He died there. So that your child might live forever with God. forever and forever. A place where there's no more coronavirus. A place where you don't have to worry about disease. A place where you don't have to worry about people dying. A place where you can find peace. A place where you don't live in fear like we're living today. Because there's a place called heaven where all that is wiped away because of Jesus Christ's death on the cross. And He's making it available to you for free. No cost to you. Except that you repent of your sins. Put your faith in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And you receive the gift of eternal life. Well, we're going to have an invitation this morning. It's been a long time, but it's past due. I'm going to ask Brother Doyle to come and help us with the invitation hymn this morning. I'm going to ask that you stand with me, please. Would you do that?
381.
Find your place there, 381, in your hymn book this morning. And we're going to have a word of prayer, and then we're going to sing. And you make whatever decisions that are necessary that God's Spirit is calling upon you to make today, okay? Whatever commitments God's calling you to make. Maybe there's some changes you really need. You need to think seriously about what God's telling you today. Father, we thank You for the opportunity to be in Your house today. It's been good to be gathered together with Your people today and to worship You and to honor You, to have Your Word opened before us and to survey it with our eyes and most of all, to be caught up in it with our hearts. Father, we thank You once again for this blessed privilege we have to be here and to worship You. But Father, we want You to speak to our hearts. Everybody here has some kind of a fear or a challenge or a difficulty or something going on in their lives that they need You to be in control of. And I may not have spoken to it directly, but God, You're here. And You hear the people speaking in their hearts and in their minds. I don't hear it, but You do. And You know what's going on in this room. God, I'm just a human being. It's limited and finite in every way. And You're infinite. Nothing stops You from knowing us. And I pray there's nothing in us that stops us from knowing You. Give us a heart for You, God. Oh, please, give us a heart for You. A heart that longs for You. A heart that loves You. If there's one here without Christ, oh, give them a broken heart. That they'll turn to the Savior who died on the cross for their sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
In loving kindness, Jesus came.